Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. There you go. Well, I'm going to share something. Of course, I'm Cheryl Scribner, Pastor Cheryl Scribner from the Living Savior Ministries in Argyle, Texas. And I was blessed to be the wonderful wife of a wonderful man of God, Pastor Thurman Scribner. Married to him for 17 and a half years. He was a great man of faith. He loved the Lord with all his heart. And he dedicated his life to serving him. So it was a blessing to be married to him. Thurman was a deacon of a Sunday school teacher at the Justin Baptist Church. And when he stepped into a new and unique realm with the Lord, he stepped in a new relationship. One night the Lord came to him and spoke audibly to him and said, "Son, I want you to lay down that Southern Baptist Quarterly and I want you to start teaching just my word." Well, he went to his pastor and said he was going to start teaching just the Word of God and not the Baptist Quarterly. And his pastor approved, and he announced it at church. So Thurman was concerned others at his Justin Baptist Sunday School class would consider the teaching very foreign. So he asked the Lord to confirm everything with signs, miracles, and wonders following. And as he began to teach biblical principles of faith and healing, well, God graciously began confirming those. Well, at the time, Thurman had gone 35 years without being sick, which was amazing because he received, just like you receive your salvation, he received the healer, Jesus, as his healer. And so he went so long. So now he's at Sid Roth's on It's Supernatural TV, and Sid asking, "Are you special?" Because he'd been so long without, being sick. He said, "Nobody special. Anybody can do it just by learning and reading the Word of God." Of course, hearing the audible voice of God gave him the faith that he had, as well as the written word of God that he studied for hours every day. Well, Sid said, "You provoke me to jealousy." Pastor Thurman said, "Well, anytime God speaks to you, you better do what he says. It's, good for your health if you do." So Sid introduced Pastor Thurman. I was there with him. It's 2015 on his Supernatural TV show. And he said, "My next guest, he gets more people healed than anyone that I know." Wow, what a compliment from someone that knows all the preachers and teachers of the word, So Sid asked him, "Did God prove, your teaching with the signs and miracles following?" He said, "Yeah, God did some really wonderful things." He said, after two or three lessons, one of the ladies came up and said, "I believe if you pray with me that my mother will be healed of bleeding ulcers in her stomach." They were going to do a scope the next week. And he said, "Well, we can pray about that." So they did. They repented of their sins, their sin of unbelief, prayed a simple prayer of agreement and faith based around Matthew 18:19. "Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth by touching anything, you shall agree that what you ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." He said, we know we have to believe with no doubt in our hearts. And so that's written in James 1:6-7. "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the wind driven by the sea and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord." Well, you got to believe with no doubt in your heart. And we did. So he tells her, "Now go home, tell your mother that she's healed." She goes, "What?" He says, "If you can't do that, you didn't believe." She said, "Okay, wow, I'll go tell her." The next morning, next Sunday, her mother comes to the Sunday school class, and she said, "I want to meet you." And he said, "Well, you're the lady we prayed for last Sunday." And she said, "Yes, I went to the doctor Thursday, and they did the scope, and they said there was nothing wrong with my stomach. It was perfect. All the bleeding ulcers were gone." Praise the Lord. God miraculously healed her just like he had said. Well, he was teaching the pure word of God, and he became an outcast in his church. The Baptist people wouldn't talk to him. Just the way it was. But he would pray for anybody, and he was teaching a healing school and praying for everybody, and everybody he prayed for got healed. So they were going, wow, what a great beginning to his ministry. Well, I assume, do most of y'all know about Caitlin's miracle? Yes, everybody does. Okay, I won't go into that then, because that was his biggest test in 2001 when Amanda, his daughter, and his wife Betty got killed in the head-on collision, a 70-mile-an-hour head-on collision, because Betty had a heart attack. She veered into the lane, and that's what happened. It severed Caitlin's brainstem. It jerked her eye cords out of her eyes. It crushed every organ in her body was damaged. They said she was lethal. I think it crushed her head 5 places, and she was bleeding out of every orifice, her mouth, her nose, her ears, nose, mouth, and eyes. Even out of her eyes she was bleeding. And her head was twice its size. And so when he went there, I guess at that part I should tell you what he did, because they kept saying she was going to die, and he kept telling them no. And what he did, when the police officer came in and told him that they were dead, he did what Job did. He got down and worshiped for 15 or 20 minutes before he went and picked up Tim and took him to the hospital, you know, to check on Caitlin. But he told all the doctors, he said, I guarantee you on the word of the living God, you'll see my God do a miracle, raise this little girl up, and she'll run and play. They thought he was a crazy guy in denial. And he sat there, this is the day it happened, he sat by her bed for 10 hours praising and worshiping the God, you know. And so everybody, the head neurologist came to him 9 days later and said, okay, we're going to pull, you know, the breathing tube off of her, and she's going to decease. And he said, you do not want to resuscitate her. And he told him, she's not going to die. And he said, well, I've done the second MRI on her, and there's nothing attached to her brain. He said, even her eyes? He said, no, nothing. He said, there's nothing to tell her to see, nothing to tell her to cough, to breathe, to move. And when we pull the breathing machine, she will die. And so Thurman said, oh, no, she won't. The Word of God says something different. And Dr. Martz said to him, he said, no, she's going to die. And he told him, he said, are you a Christian? He said, no, I'm a Jew. And he said, well, you're going to see the best Jewish physician, Jesus, my king, do the best work you've ever seen. I guarantee it. And so anyway, they kept telling him they guaranteed she was going to die. And he kept saying, there's not a chance. I guarantee you on the living word, Mark 11:23, you can believe with no doubt in your heart, whatever you say with your mouth, you believe it with your heart, you will have whatever you say with your mouth. So at this point in the story with Sid Roth, because we had taken a picture of Caitlin riding her horse and everything, and they showed all that. Now, of course, everybody's amazed. Caitlin's 24 years old now. And Sid said, well, can you imagine anybody having that type of faith, that tenacious faith where they believe and it doesn't matter what you say to them? He said, I think that's normal. And with faith like that, you know, the whole world would be normal. He said, I guaranteed them she would breathe over the machine. She did. She did that. 2 points over, slightly coughed. And then the next Monday, after they'd taken it off, her face was beautiful. No scars, no swelling, no nothing, you know. And then they said, well, we're going to make a special motorized wheelchair. He told them, no, you know, I'm not doing that. He said he carried her out of that hospital, took her home, set her up in the bed, and he'd say, Caitlin, honey, in the name of Jesus, I command your body to be strong, and you sit up. And then she'd fall over. Then he'd sit her back up, and he kept doing that over and over and over until she could sit up. Then he stood her by the bed, and he did the same thing. He commanded her little body to be strong where she can stand, and she'd fall in a heap, and then he'd pick her up, and he did it over and over and over till she could stand, and he did the same thing with her walking. Well, about this time, Sid Ross asked him, what did the Jewish doctor say about her now? Thurman said, when I took her back for a checkup, and Dr. Mark saw her walking, because, you know, she wasn't walking. She was supposed to be an invalid all her life. He scooped her up in his arms. He said, Dr. Marks, what do you think about my Jesus now? He said, sir, all I have to say is somebody a whole lot bigger than me put this little girl back together. So Sid then asked him, and this is really cool. He says, Thurman, how can you guarantee that somebody's going to get healed? He said, well, the only way you can guarantee God's word is to know his word and believe his word and believe it in your heart. And so Sid said, so if you believe it in your heart, that's how you can guarantee it? He said, yes, that's right. If you can't guarantee it, he said, that means you don't believe it in your heart. And I'm telling you, my husband believed God's word. He stood on it. So this is a little bit of the backstory. We had lunch with Sid before we filmed the TV filming. And Thurman was talking, and Thurman said, well, when the Lord killed my wife and daughter, and when he said that, Sid had a runaway. He said, don't you dare say that on my set. He said, Thurman said, well, Sid, God is in control. He decides whether we live or die. He said, I don't care. Just don't say that on my set, which he didn't. Thurman, you know, he wouldn't do that. But he knew the Lord's in control of every breath we take, right? We can't breathe without him allowing us to have a breath. And Thurman also taught Deuteronomy 32:39. See, now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me, I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. So then Sid Roth met a lady that had come to our church, and she got healed of an 18-year disease, Lyme disease, that she had. And she got it because she got into an she made a vow to get even with a college professor when she was 18. Okay? It took a long time to find this. Okay? Because she'd get better, we'd pray she'd get better, but we never were exactly at it. And then finally, he had her use Jeremiah 33:3, calling to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you know not of, so that she could find out what she had done as a young person. Because with the Lyme disease, she was to the point she couldn't take care of her kids, she was in bed all the time, she was miserable. Well, anyway, so she sees Sid Roth at a Houston horse show. And she, of course, she went up to him and she told him she got healed of Lyme's disease. And he said, well, who prayed for you? And she said, well, you're probably not going to know him. She said, Thurman Scrivener. And she said, his eyes lit up. And he said, I know Thurman. And I put Thurman in the top 5 men of faith in the world that I know. Wow, what a thing to say about my husband. And then Brother Kenneth Copeland said about Thurman and his team, he said, we were not just faith healers, we were faith technicians, healing technicians. And this was after he flew us in one of his biggest jet to, this was 2015, to Colorado to a pastor that was dying with colon cancer. And on the way there, I asked the Lord what the sin was. And the Lord spoke to me and told me that the sin was a sexual sin. And I'm going, oh great, I'm going to have to bring this up in the hospital room and everything. And so, because you have to do what the Lord tells you, you know. So we go there, and so we're talking to the man. There was an issue in the fact that he had gotten falsely accused of abusing an Indian girl because they were he and his wife were ministering at an Indian reservation. And he didn't do it. It was proven that he didn't do it, but the people that he worked under fired him. He even got put in jail, and he had unforgiveness against them. So that brought the cancer on, okay? Who's eating at your gut? Okay? And then Thurman's talking to him, and he's in terrible, terrible pain. He's supposed to die. Mere days, and he had knots all in his stomach. And so I just put my hand over on top of him while Thurman was, you know, not touching him, but because your hands, like, that's what I learned from Pastor McCall, John McCall. He said the Lord showed him the powers in the hands. So I just put my hand over on top of him to try to release some of that pain that he was in. And so Thurman talks. He gets everybody, him to repent and everything. And then he starts to pray. And I just touched Thurman's arm and I said, not yet. I said, there's something down here. Well, at the end of the bed was his wife. And I said, and I don't know why I said this. I just said, well, you know, like every disease has a cause for it. Like MS is a deep root of hatred and bitterness. And when I said that, Kenneth Copeland jumped up and repented if he ever said or did anything to Gloria. I thought, well, gosh, that's interesting. And then I said, you know, on the way here, I prayed and asked the Lord what the problem was, and he told me it was a sexual sin. Now, his wife's standing down at the end of the bed, and she goes, yes, whoops, sorry. Yes, I really did that. So sorry. And, I know, if I put it over here, it won't fall again, will it? So she said, yes, she said, he's been into porn for however many years, 20-something years. And I go, okay. And I said, but you think she believes what all these people said about you. And he also said about that time, well, I haven't done it in several months. And she went, you did it 3 months ago. Now, she's throwing her finger at him and accusing him. And I said, well, you know, but you've repented of that. And he said, yes, I repented of looking at porn. I said, well, good. And so then I said, but you need to forgive her because you believe she believed what they said about you, that he molested this Indian girl, which he did not. He was nowhere near this girl, okay? And so he says, yes, he's unhappy with her. And so he right then, he forgives her. So I've got her forgiving him. And then I said, you, to her, need to forgive him because you haven't believed him and trusted him. So she did. She repented. So everybody's, okay, I touched Thurman's arm and I go, okay, you can pray now. And we pray. I love it when things work out so good. So we remitted, they got their sins. We laid hands on them. We prayed. And the minister was released the next day with no cancer. Praise God. Thank you. Hallelujah. Yeah, that was exciting. Plus, I got to, they ordered all the food we wanted. I got some fried shrimp from Colorado and flew back in a big jet. Took an hour and 15 minutes to get from Denver all the way back to to Dallas area. It was great. Okay. Well, also, Brother Copeland spoke about Pastor Thurman on his recent Bible College TV show. And the only reason I knew about it, somebody texted me and said, Kenneth Copeland's talking about Thurman on the TV. So, of course, I shot over there and looked at it. And he said, Pastor Thurman was a good friend of mine. And he said, all of heaven rejoiced when Thurman arrived. And I said, hallelujah, isn't that the truth? And I know that my dad was the first one to greet him because Thurman saved my dad from falling into the pit of hell after he was in the process of dying with a stroke. And through that, we'd only been married 5 months, but we were in ICU with him. And I told Thurman, I said, can we pray for my dad? I'm just not really sure he's saved because I talked to him several times about Jesus, but he was a Catholic and he just kind of laughed me off. That's what he was raised. And we only went to church because when I was five, they couldn't put me in a public school, but they put me in an Episcopal church school that would take me. Nobody else would take me, Catholic, Lutheran, Presbyterian, whatever. But the Episcopalian church took me. And when I came home and asked what the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost were, that's when we started going to church, you know. And so Thurman said, yeah. He said, we can pray for him. And we've been married 5 months, okay. He doesn't really know my dad. He's only talked to him a couple of times. Thurman leans, and we're in ICU because my dad's dying. And when I told him goodbye, I remitted all his sins, every sin my mother said he had done, and I told the Lord, I have got to know today if my dad made it to heaven. I don't care how you do it, an angel, white light, or Jesus Christ himself walk in this ICU room, but I have to know today that my dad made it to heaven because, you know, it was questionable at this point. Thurman leans against the bed, and when he leans against the bed and he throws his hands up, he starts crying profusely. I don't know what the heck's going on. He's crying, bawling, because he did not pray for Betty and Amanda when they died. But yet he's praying, he's there crying profusely for my daddy that he doesn't really know. And so he started saying, call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. I go, yes, daddy, call on the name of the Lord. So everything he said, I repeated. You know, I was like a little motor mouth there. I'm holding my dad's hand and he's saying, Howard, call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. And I said, yes, daddy, call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. So we're going back and forth, probably 5 minutes. And all of a sudden, Thurman throws his hands up and says, God is awesome. And I said, what happened? He said, your dad in the spirit. He said, he showed him a vision. The first thing that happened, the Lord showed him an open vision. He sees my dad falling backwards into the dark abyss, into the pit of hell. He's falling backwards like a swan dive, okay? When he kept calling out, Howard, calling the name of Jesus, my dad in the spirit finally went, Jesus, just barely, just Jesus. And when he did that, this beautiful light from above illuminates my daddy. Stops him from, it doesn't go past him, it just hits him. It stops him from falling. It stands him straight up with his arms up like this, and he goes whoosh into the light. My daddy made it to heaven. You call that close? It's a little bit too close for me. Oh my gosh. Oh, it was, so I know my daddy, besides Pastor Paul being there, I know my daddy standing right there in the front saying, Thurman, Thurman, you know, I made it. Praise God. Well, God not only, you know, there's some people that he raised. He did raise one person from the dead, and this man actually worked for him, and he had a massive heart attack about 1:30 in the morning, and the son-in-law was a paramedic, and he was sent over there to Bo Jackson's house. And so he worked on him till 2 in the morning until he was dead. And he called Thurman. He said, "We've lost Bo." They worked together. He said, "He's a massive heart attack. We haven't had a heartbeat or a pulse for at least half an hour. So he's gone." Well, Thurman knew the family was not in the supernatural healing, but he said to him, "Let's pray." He said, "Thurman, he's gone. He's dead." He said, "It's never too late to pray. Not until Jesus says it's too late to pray." So Thurman began to pray, rebuke the spirit of death, command the spirit of life to come back into Bo's body, and all of a sudden, he said, "I've got a heartbeat. I got a pulse. He said, "Well, what are you going to do with it?" He said, "I'm taking him over to Irvine to the hospital." So Thurman says, "I'll meet you there." So it took him 2 hours to drive over there. He got there at 4 or 5 in the morning, and he saw a doctor in the hall, and he asked, he said, "Where's Bo Jackson?" He said, "Well, he's in room 13. He said, "But, you know, they should have let him, how do you put it? He said, but it would have been better if he died." He said, "The paramedic said they didn't have a heartbeat for over half an hour." He said, "So he's just going to be a vegetable." Then my husband, he's so good at this, he goes, "Doctor, you see these hands?" He says, "Yes." He said, "Well, Jesus said to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. He didn't say they'll be a vegetable." So the guy just rolled his eyes at him, and so he's one of those, you know. So Thurman turned, went down to Bo's room. Now, this is all he did. So this is like, he's just such a man of faith. He's sound asleep. He lays hands on him saying, "Father, you said in Mark 16:18 that I shall lay hands on the sick and they shall fully recover. I thank you, Lord, that he is well in Jesus' name." And he turned and he walked out of the room. That's all he did. Bo is there right there. Bo fully recovered in 2 weeks, back to work, and he was the only man that Thurman raised from the dead. He got to see my dad fall, but he didn't raise him. At least he raised him to heaven, praise the Lord. Okay, we're in Minnesota, and this girl, Cindy, comes up to us. She's 50 years old, and she has terminal lung cancer. Okay, so we minister to her, and if you don't know, all cancer is unforgiveness and bitterness, so don't have any unforgiveness or bitterness in your heart, or you get to go to hell. You know, you don't want to do that. So she took spiritual inventory of her heart. She repented of all her sins. We prayed the prayer of faith for her, and we asked that God would give her, we prayed specifically for her, a new set of lungs. Okay, Pastor Thurman says, "Cindy, you got to believe God. You got to believe when you walk out of here today, your confession's got to be, I am healed. I have a new set of lungs. I know I'm healed because it's written in the Word." Okay, so she left saying that. Pastor Thurman said, "Don't you dare let anybody steal your miracle from you, because they'll try to. They'll say, oh, it's just, it was bad doctor or something." And they always try to, you know, foosh it away when you get a miracle. And he said, "People will always respond to your testimony of healing by saying things like that, because they just don't know." So she goes to the doctor. Now, she's already been told she's terminal. She goes to the doctor. She tells him that she was healed. He says, "No, Cindy, you can't be healed. You have bad lungs and you are going to die." I mean, he'd already told her she was going to die, but now he's really telling her she's going to die. She says, "Oh, no, I'm not. Jesus healed me." So finally he relented. He sent her back to the back to have an x-ray done of her lungs. And the nurse comes back with the x-ray and he says, "This is not Cindy's lungs." She said, "Yes, it is Cindy's x-ray." And he looks at it, he's amazed. He confirmed to Cindy that not only did she have a brand new set of lungs, she had a 17-year-old girl set of lungs. So praise God, she was healed. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, well, Thurman was teaching, like I said, the Bible study, you know, Sunday school class at the Justin Baptist Church, and one of the ladies there asked him, would he take his only day off and fly down to Corpus Christi to pray for her best friend who was dying of breast cancer? She only had, I think, a week to live. Yes. And she had not eaten in 3 weeks, and her body was ravaged with cancer, and she was so weak, she was just laying on the couch waiting to die, and then she resigned herself to death because she didn't know or believe that God could heal her. You know, a lot of people don't know that. Okay, Thurman agreed to take his only day off, go down there, share the word with Judy, was her name, and her husband. It had taken Judy 2 hours to get ready for Thurman to come there. She wanted to be dressed when the man of God came into her house, but it took her 2 hours to put clothes on. So she was really weak, very sick. Okay. Both she and her husband, they had unforgiveness. Thurman, you know, got them to repent. He spent 5 hours teaching them about healing, and they confessed their sins to God, forgave everyone. And then Thurman asked Judy, "Are you ready to be healed?" And she said, "Yes, you cast this devil of hell out of me right now." He prayed for her, and boom, she was instantly healed. Her husband was amazed. They knew she would have died without this miracle of healing. Well, Thurman said, "I got to go. I got to catch a plane," because actually the way he flew in, he had to go to Houston to Corpus, you know. So he, back then, he didn't want to miss your flight, you know. He didn't want to get stuck in Houston. He said, I got to catch my flight. She said, "Well, I'm going with you." Back then, you could walk up to the gate of the airplane. Well, you know, she's been laying on the bed. You know, she's weak as a kitten. She said, "Nope, she's going." She went, she walked all the way to the airplane, wasn't weak at all. And then on the way home, she says to her husband, "Look right there." She said, that's probably me talking. She said, "There's the best fried shrimp dinner in town." She said, "Let's stop right there," because we had shrimp today. And so they stopped right there, and the next morning she called Thurman. She said she just wanted him to know that everything in her body worked perfect. Okay, praise the God. All right. Okay. Well, now you would think that this all has a great, wonderful ending, right? Oh, but no. Okay, this is very sad. Sad ending. So for 5 years, she's healed, and this woman was a beautiful woman, okay? When he saw her, she was only like 80 pounds. 6 months later, somebody had brought a picture, the best friend there at his Sunday school class, brought him a picture of her, and he said, "Who is this?" And she said, "That's Judy." And he said, "Oh, my gosh," because, you know, she was beautiful and, you know, 120 pounds instead of 80 pounds. Anyway, well, somebody, after 5 years, she's healed, and somebody comes up to the husband and says, "Isn't it great that Jesus healed Judy?" And he says, "Oh, no, it wasn't Jesus. It was all the natural food and supplements that I was giving to her." Whoa, you know what happened next? Within 1 month after he made that statement, Judy died of cancer. It was all over her body. Her husband idolized her and her beauty, and then he tried to take the glory for her healing. And God does not share his glory with anybody. I mean, no, he doesn't. So that was really sad. We have some of those sometimes. We had one in Grand Rapids, Michigan. This was incredible. It was like a movie theater, you know, and it had levels. And so way up on the top, I saw this woman come in. They had her on a board. And so we were there 3 days. So I went buzzing up there and found out she had unforgiveness against her sister. I said, "Thurman, would you come up and pray for this woman?" She had Parkinson and had not walked in 7 years. Okay. So he comes up there with me and he prays for her, but nothing happens. Okay. Well, he teaches that day and 2 more days. So he's telling it, so we got this line going up the middle that's several hundred people going up on those levels, and he tells everybody, "Don't come down here if you've been prayed for before." Well, they brought that woman way down here over in the corner on her board. She still can't walk. And she goes, "I found my sin, I found my sin." So we walk over there. She said, I didn't know I was to submit to my husband in all things. She didn't know that. And she said, "I've been grumbling and complaining all my life." Now, it says not to do that, right? So, besides the fact, she'd forgiven her sister. So I turned to him because, you know, the Lord was moving on me. I said, "Honey, we need to get her up." So we get her up, and she's all wobbly because she hasn't walked in 7 years. So we do this thing with people that haven't walked. We kind of ship them back and forth, and they kind of will start walking a little bit. And so we started doing that, and then in a minute, she starts taking a little bitty step, like a baby step kind of thing. And we're like, it was about as wide as here, and so we've started here, and so we're going. And so she's starting to step, and so as we're getting close, he says, "I got to go back and pray for people." He said, "Somebody needs to come help you." About that time, a young man hooked onto her, and we started up those levels, okay? We're going up the levels. Well, I knew that I was to speed her up, and we started speeding up, and before we got to the top, she took off running, and she ran out the door into the parking lot with that young man following her. had not walked in 7 years. Totally, completely healed. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. So that was like, oh, that's a mighty healing. We see some really great things, and that was really wonderful. And I just was like, wow, God, you're so awesome. So we go back 2 months later, and the pastor picks us up. And of course, the first thing out of my mouth is, how's that lady that had the Parkinson's? He said, you don't want to hear. I said, what do you mean we don't want to hear? You know, I'm thinking, this is great. She hadn't walked in 7 years. He said, and this is that thing about how people can steal your healing. He said, her husband kept telling her she didn't really get healed. And before, for 2 months, and of course, if you're not going to church, you're not reading the word, you're not filling your home up, you know. Within 2 months, he talked her out of her healing, and she went back to bed, and that was the end. You know, I was like, wow, why did that have to happen? Oh, well, God's in charge, not me. It's a good thing. Okay, so Germany. We went to Germany several times in our travels because YWAM contacted us. YWAM had 3,000 churches over there, and Christoph, who ran YWAM, he used to be the Secretary of Agriculture, and he was flying over Indonesia eating rice out of a bowl with all the people in the airplane, and the Lord audibly speaks to him in his language and tells him to go back, when he gets back home, to go get saved and to go be a preacher. Okay, so he comes back, he does everything the Lord tells him, and he finally ends up over YWAM, and they have 3,000 churches. So we went there many, many times, and it was great, and then we would go to their churches, and all that was great. Well, then finally this church in Berlin contacted us because of all that. And Berlin is a beautiful, beautiful city because it's got a big river going through it. I can't remember the name of the river, but it's just beautiful. But it had more wheelchairs there than anything I've ever seen. I've never seen anything like that place. But it was beautiful, you know. And so this church was huge. They held 9,000 in the sanctuary and 1,500 in the reception area. So they could have two events going at once. Huge swimming pools and offices everywhere. I mean, it was like a resort. It was big. Cost millions, millions of dollars. The pastor was an internist, and he told Thurman exactly what he wanted him to teach about Caitlin and whatever. He was very specific with him. Thurman said, fine, he would teach what he wanted, and he did. Okay, so at this church, there were 12 women there with breast cancer in the left breast, and this is where I got the revelation about the not loving yourself, you can get breast cancer in your left breast. 8 of these women did not love themselves, and they all had, you know, left breast cancer. So that was incredible. We already figured out all breast cancer was unforgiveness against a woman. The left breast was against a woman in the family or herself, and the right breast was against a woman outside the family or her husband. The right side of the body is male, the left side is female, but we've only had 2 or 3 times that it was a husband out of thousands of women we prayed for. So the right breast, though, unforgiveness can be against a pastor's wife. We've seen that several times. Your employer, a friend, or a woman that had an affair with your husband. You forgive the husband for the adulterous affair, but you don't forgive the man. And like several times the wife would come out, oh yes, Thurman would say, she'd say, oh, I've got right breast cancer, but I know what you've said, but I don't have any unforgiveness. And he'd say, well, did your husband ever run around on you? And she said, yes, but I forgave him. He said, well, did you forgive the woman? And she went, so you knew. No, she didn't forgive. She was hissing like a cat. You know, she didn't forgive. But we got everyone, and there were several of them. It was more than one. Every one of them forgave, and they all got healed. So we have a 99.9% healing rate with breast cancer. We've only seen 3 women die that we prayed for, with over thousands of people, women with breast cancer. One was a woman in a church. When the reason why they died, they chose not to forgive, okay? The one woman in our church worked for another ministry, and she had unforgiveness against her sister and her niece who got her parents' antique furniture. Well, you know, that's not really a good reason to die over something that's going to rot and burn up. As my husband would say, everything's going to burn up. And then we had another woman, and this one was a different kind of story. Her mother was beat up by her dad constantly, and so she was wacky. She was wacky. There's no doubt about it. And the woman was then, the wacky mother molested the little girl on the kitchen table, and she molested her, and I think till she finally got out of the house at 18. But when she started developing, she'd make cat calls at her and stuff, and you know, embarrass her. So she was covering up to trying to stay away from her mother. Okay, this is the only person I've ever, if the Lord told me to fast for her. And they called, and she came 2 years to healing school. And every time she'd come, I'd say, who do you have unforgiveness against? You know, it's breast cancer. And in the left breast. And she'd say, I don't have unforgiveness against anybody. We went on and on and on, and 2 years. Finally, they call and they say, okay, this woman, she's 80 pounds, she's on a mat. They're going to bring her in a van if we will go see her at the La Quinta in Denton. So we agree, we will go there. So I asked the Lord, okay, what am I supposed to do? Where, you know, what do you want me to do here? He said, fast for her. So I fasted 3 days, water only. Okay, only person I've ever done that for. So we go there, she's on oxygen, like I say, she's 80 pounds. Thurman does all the talking for a while, and then finally I say to her, who is eating at your chest? She says, my mother. Oh, my God. Here, 2 years, you know, we've missed this thing, you know. And then she tells, you know, her mother molested her, blah, blah, blah. So we get her to forgive, get her off the oxygen. She's feeling great. You know, we've prayed for her. I break my fast with her. You know, she had some dates and nuts and stuff. And so she says to Thurman, well, now if I put this oxygen back on, I won't be, you know, in belief. And he said, that's right. So you can't put the oxygen back on. You have to stay where you are right now. The Lord has started healing you. You're already able to breathe without oxygen, so no. Then she says, well, my mother, who is in Colorado, wants to come see me. I said, you have to let her come see you. I said, you have to show God that you have truly forgiven your mother. She said, but if she comes, I'll have to take care of her. Well, this woman couldn't even take care of herself. She's on a board. She's 80 pounds, you know. She's living in somebody's house where they're taking care of her. I said, no, you have to have your mother come. You have to show God you have forgiven. He's healed you. You have to show him. So I thought it was all okay. So she's there for 3 days, keeps coming by the ministry center. I don't think we didn't have church right then. It was just she was at a time where she'd come by and get teachings. She's still off the oxygen. She's feeling great. And off she goes back to New Mexico. And then I find out 2 months later, she dies. Now, why did she die? She didn't let her mother come see her. And so God took her home. It's like, gosh, you know, you hate that. Okay, and then the last one was she was a cousin of a friend of ours. Thurman married them one night, and he had a blue healer as his best man. It was pretty funny, and they were good friends with Christy and Eric, my daughter and son-in-law. Eric wasn't there, but Christy got there in time. But anyway, he brings his first cousin because she's got breast cancer, right breast. Okay, so that's either, like I was telling you, it could be a pastor's wife, which we've had that. But this one was against the husband, and she chose not to forgive him. So she died in about a month, something like that. So forgiveness is a choice, and that's only 3 people, women, we've seen die. One 50-year-old man had a malignant tumor, and he was given 2 months to live. And Thurman said, asked him who he hated the most. He said, I hate my mother. He said, well, you got to be willing to forgive your mother. He said, will you forgive her? He said, yes. Thurman laid hands on him, and he prophesied that he would live as long as he maintained a loving relationship with all people, and that God raised him up, and he was the only one at this hospital that ever survived whatever type of cancer this was. It was something special. Then he had another man on his deathbed, and Thurman told him he had to forgive those that he was angry with, and he said, well, I'll have to think about it. And Thurman told him, you can't think about it. He said, don't you spend much time doing that. He died the next week. Now, his deal was his twin 3-year-old granddaughters had been molested by a man, and he could not forgive that man, even though, like I say, Thurman knew all that. He talked to him about it. And so by what good did that do him? By keeping the unforgiveness, he got to go bust hell wide open. Why is that? Mark 11, 25 and 26, Jesus said, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Oh well, it's not worth it to stay in unforgiveness. The person you have unforgiveness against is not affected by it. Only you are affected by the unforgiveness. You get to be sick, and you possibly get to bust hell wide open, which because you won't forgive. All right, we had a lady come to church that had a stroke. Her name was Raquel, and she came in a wheelchair. Her niece brought her in a wheelchair. She couldn't walk at all. I asked her. I saw her, so I went over and I started talking to her. And I said, well, strokes are unforgiveness. I asked her which side of the body it affected. It affected her left side, which meant the stroke was on the right side. With a stroke, it's opposite. So the brain is where it is. So that meant it's the right side, it's male. So I asked her which male she had unforgiveness again. She said, my ex-husband. I said, well, why is that? And she said, because he started running around on her. He stole her money. He stole her house. He moved the girlfriend into the house after they were divorced, and then he married her. And so she hated him for all the hurt and the financial loss that he caused her. I told her, I said, well, you can't, you know, you don't get to go to heaven, you know, if you don't forgive. And Jesus said in Matthew 18, 34 and 35, and his Lord was wroth or angry, and he delivered him to the tormentors until he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do unto you also, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. So if you're in unforgiveness, you get to be turned over to the tormentors, which I don't think is a lot of fun. And if you don't forgive, you get to go to hell. Who wants to go there? Not me. I'm not signing up for that one. Anyway, I asked her, I said, is it worth you going to hell for him? And she said, no. So we finally got to pray for her. You know, we have a prayer line after the healing school. And so she came up. And so we prayed for her. She forgave her ex-husband, all of that. And so I said, honey, because the Holy Spirit was working on me. And I told Thurman, I said, honey, we need to get her out of her wheelchair. So we did and got her walking. And she walked out of there, pushing the wheelchair, holding the handles, walking out the back door. Okay, all the way out. She got all the way out on her own. We have a picture of both of us holding each side of her arm as she started, you know, trying to walk, and she left it. It was a great day for her to start walking again. Well, the next time she came to church, she was pushing one of those walkers that you get to sit in, you know, it's a small little thing. And so she sat there and she listened, and then she came up for prayer, and then after we prayed for her, this time we told her to fold up that walker and carry it out of the church, which be like from here, just like out of y'all's church. She did exactly that. She folded it up. So God had forgiven her and healed that stroke and gave her a new beginning when she got right with God. Praise the Lord. Pastor Thurman always said when something would afflict him, he would say, Lord, what have I done that did not please you? And he'd ask until the Lord answered him. You can also quote Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things you know if not of. Well, I personally always do that if God, you know, if there's something that I do that he's not pleased with. So we were out at the horse barn. We have four horses. And we were out there. It was wintertime and we have on parkas and gloves. And so we had a rescue horse who was 27. He died like when he was 29 or something. But I had to give him certain kind of feed and oils and cooking oil. Just different things, some senior feed and some special feed for rescue animals to keep weight on him. He was an Arabian. He was beautiful, but he'd get really skinny if you didn't keep this stuff, you know, fed right. So anyway, I get a bucket. It's half, it's half full of feed. Okay, and I tell Thurman to give it, but he was having trouble hearing me. It's windy and everything. And I tell him to give it to Smokey. Instead, he gives it to the six-year-old horse, the Spirit, who's our gelding, who, of course, who's a fat little booger and didn't need it. So, you know, I go, I say to myself, he is such a hardhead. Now, you wouldn't think that would offend the Lord. Well, it did. So from the time we walked from the barn to the ministry center to go back in the house, I had completely lost my voice, completely gone. So whatever you sin with the world, that's where you're affected, because I had thought a bad thought. I was not honoring or respecting my husband, so the Lord took my voice away. As soon as I got in the house, I started petitioning, okay, Lord, what to do, Jeremiah 32:3, start going through it and everything. And he immediately showed me the scene out in the barn and me thinking the thought. I went, oh, I repent, but it was too late because he expects more of me because I know more. He holds me more accountable because I know better. All right. So I had to sleep on my back for 5 days, terrible sinus infection, and I'm a stomach sleeper, so it was misery just doing that. And I felt awful, and so what you say or think affects your head or your chest. And I was miserable for a week because I did not capture my bad thought. in the mercy of the Lord, thank God he did not kill me. Okay. Praise God on that one. So we're headed to the airport for Norway. We actually were going for a week, but we ended up having to stay 2 weeks. And I think the trauma of having to get everything together, to be out of town, to, you know, pack clothes for the cold and everything, and in a hurry. So before we had to stop the terminal for me, my stomach was upset, so I could go to the bathroom before we ever got out to the airplane gate. So when we finally got to the plane before takeoff, we're in the plane, and I've already gone to the bathroom 3, 4, or 5 times. And before we'd even got to the top of climb, I patted Thurman on the knee, and I said, honey, pray for me. And he said, I have been praying for you. And I said, well, honey, pray. And so I go to the bathroom. He turns around, and he says, Lord, please, I'm pleading with you. Will you please heal my wife so I don't have to go all the way to Norway like this with her grumbling and complaining because she's got a bowel problem? Lord, I need some help. Well, I come back. Before I come back, the Lord speaks to Thurman, clear as a bell, and says, son, you're begging. I don't answer prayers of begging. I am a faith God. I answer prayers of faith. So how's that line up with what's written in the Word? Absolutely. Everything God said lines up with the Word. In Hebrews 11:6, he says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. Okay, so Thurman said, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. I repent for my begging. Now I'm going to take John 14:13-14, where it says I can ask you for anything. So I'm asking you to take care of my wife, heal her, make sure she doesn't have to go to the bathroom no more between here and Norway, and everything will work perfect in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I came back to sit down by him. As I went by, he swatted me on the backside. And I said, did you pray for me? He said, yes, I did, and I guarantee you it worked. Well, do you think God liked it like that? Do you think he liked it for us to believe that he's going to answer your prayers when he said in 2 Corinthians 1:20, all of his promises are yes and amen unto the glory of God by us? So after Thurman prayed for me, the whole entire time, that long flying time, I forget how many hours, I think it was about 12 hours, I never had to go to the bathroom except for normal things, and everything worked perfect. It's amazing. You have to learn how to do things God's way. He's a faith God, and thank you, Jesus. I always told Thurman I was his best teaching tool. He loved that. All right. There was a Christian youth camp leader that called Pastor Thurman from Wisconsin, and he had epileptic seizures since he was 20. And he said he's 35 now, and he said it's just intimidating to be there up on the platform teaching and, you know, about God and have a seizure in front of 40 to 50 teenagers. Well, Pastor asked him what he had done before that would have offended God, and that most demons of epilepsy have to do with are against the parents. Usually it's against the father, not honoring the father. Pastor said, you have a demon, sir. You've let him in. You open the door, and it will make you sick and afflict you. The man said, oh, my gosh. I lied to my dad. He said, when I was 15, I disobeyed him and went to a rock concert when he had told me that absolutely not, I could not go to that concert as it did not glorify God. Well, I lied and said I was spending the night with friends. Instead, we went to the rock concert. Well, you can pick up a bunch of demons at a rock concert. Pastor told him, well, that's why you have epilepsy. He said, because you disobeyed your father. You know, it says many places in Exodus 20:12, honor thy father and thy mother, for that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Ephesians 6:1-3 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And then also Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. So you kids don't get any free reign around here. So that was a sin that opened the door for the epileptic seizures in your life, and you have to repent for that sin. Well, he said, my dad's already dead. He said, just repent to God, repent to your dad, and then when I will cast out that spirit. He said, the spirit world never dies. Okay? So if you've offended somebody, you can still repent and tell them you're sorry. He said, just say, Dad, I repent. I'm sorry, Dad, that I did that dumb thing when I was 15 or 16 years old. I will honor my mother and father, and even though they are dead, you have to honor your parents because disobedience brings on the curse. So over the telephone, Pastor, this is all on the phone. He never saw the man. He cast out the spirit of epilepsy, and a year later, the man called back and said he had not had a single medicine or a single seizure since that day that Pastor prayed, and he had been set free. Then he asked Pastor, he said, well, will you come up here and teach this to the kids up here? And he agreed, but he said, you know, I suggest that you let your head, the head camp person, listen to his teachings. And he said that he would. But then after he listened to it, he said, absolutely not. This man will never speak here. Because Pastor believed that sin and sickness were directly related, because that's actually what the Lord taught him, as well as it's all over the Word. So several months later, Pastor's telling this same testimony, and this man in the front at the healing school says, sir, you're telling my story. That's me. Well, he was the guy from Wisconsin, got up, told his own testimony. It was great. The Lord healed him. Once he repented, Pastor prayed, and he never had another epileptic seizure. Isn't God awesome? Yes, he is. Well, then Sherry Garman came to church. It was about, she had 15 years ago. She had 20 diseases. She had leukemia, diabetes, high blood pressure, neck and back injuries from a car wreck, asthma, pneumonia, blood transfusions, in and out of the hospital, and they were fixing to do a bone marrow transplant. She was on 14 drugs, and she felt terrible. She was introduced to the ministry through a friend who gave her Caitlin's Miracle DVD. She listened to it, and she got healed that day. She said, the Lord doesn't love her more than he loves me. And she received it. So she repented, asked the Lord to heal her. He healed her that day. He removed all 20 diseases, and she's still walking in divine health. And she says she's going to stay healed and off all her meds because she believes in God. That day, she never took another pill, and she's been healed for over 15 years. We serve an awesome God. If you believe, but you have to always believe. That's the important part. Then we were preaching in Hobbs, New Mexico, and it was a very, very small church. It was a little bitty house, held about 60 people, but these people, they really knew how to praise and worship the King. They praised for about an hour before Pastor Thurman went up to preach, and there were more healings in that little church than most churches that we go to. Well, this woman, when we started praying, a woman came up with hip and leg pain that she'd had for 12 years, and she could not sleep. Well, I said to her, I said, do you have unforgiveness against your husband? And her daughter says, her 50-year-old daughter says, Cheryl, you shot her right between the eyes. She said, not only does she have unforgiveness against my dad, but she has worse unforgiveness against his brother, Leroy. Okay. Well, Pastor began to explain, you can't have any unforgiveness against anybody or you get to go to hell. I mean, that's pretty easy. I mean, why do you want to go to hell? He said, are those two boys worth going to hell for? And she said, no. He said, then you need to repent and forgive both of them and walk in love. She said, okay. She said, do I have to go tell them? And he said, well, ma'am, I think the Lord would be pleased if you do. And she said, well, do I have to go tell Leroy? Pastor said, I think it'd make our Lord very happy. Just go up to Leroy, put your hand on his shoulder, look him in the eyes, tell him you forgive him, and you will never get into unforgiveness with him ever again, no matter what he does to you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to treat you with respect. I don't care what you do to me. I'm going to love you with the love like Jesus can do. And she goes, okay, I can do that. And bam, just like that, she goes, oh! And we go, what happened? All her pain left when she forgave those two men. Just like that. Just like that. We didn't even get to pray for her. We didn't even get to touch her or anything. She said, the pain in my hip and leg left. She said, boy. Later, she walks by and she goes up to Thurman. She says, Pastor, she says, neither one of those boys were worth all that pain and suffering I went through. We just laughed, you know. But she's going to love them. She's going to walk in love. But that's what you get, pain and suffering, if you have unforgiveness in your heart. So you got to forgive everyone no matter what they do or say, and you'll stay well and you'll never be sick, and you have to always walk in the God's kind of love. Jesus made it easy. Then we had two more people that night. One was the pastor's sister and one was another lady, and they were both on oxygen. And the pastor's sister had been on oxygen 2 years, and she did not love herself. And so once we got her to repent for not loving herself, She got off the oxygen and she could breathe on her own, because it's a sin if you don't love yourself. God commands you to love yourself. In Matthew 19:19, Jesus says, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So it's a commandment from God to love yourself. And there are a lot of women that don't. But we take them, when we have people like that, there's a teaching called Love Yourself, God Commands It. It's back there on that table. And we take them through. In fact, I did this just recently. I took this lady, because she didn't love herself. I said, repeat after me. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I repent for not loving myself. I promise you, from this day forward, I will love myself. I'm a daughter of the King of the universe. I am a princess. I am royalty. I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and I love myself. And then we heal the soul wounds. We video edit out all the bad memories. We break all unholy soul ties, and then we pull out the fiery darts. And the people, they always get healed. It's an amazing thing. So anyway, the other lady, okay, that one didn't love herself. The other lady, she had some kind of lung disease and been on oxygen for several years, and we asked her, who did she have unforgiveness against? And she had several people, because if you're sinning with your mouth and your words, you'll be afflicted in your head and in your chest. And this is what was happening. She was being afflicted in her lungs. So once we prayed for her, she repented and everything. She took the oxygen off. She instantly could breathe on her own, because in big breaths, and she was astounded what God did. So God wants everyone well. It's a fact. So you have to repent for your sins. You have to stand on one of your scriptures. You praise and thank Him, and He will heal you. It's very easy to get healed once you repent. And once you cleanse your heart of all sins of an unforgiveness, and you obey and trust Him, you stand on the Word, and you praise and thank Him. It says in Jeremiah 1:12, then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. In other words, He watches over His word to perform it. So it's His word that gets you healed. That's why you need to know and quote the word for your healing. In Psalm 107:20, He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. He sent what? He sent His word. So praise God for this faithful, obedient servant of God, my husband, who was simple enough to believe what God wrote in His word, and he applied it to his entire life. He changed the world by believing that there was nothing impossible with Jesus Christ. Pastor Thurman told me the week before he went home, he said Jesus had definitely chosen the perfect wife for him who would carry on his legacy. We do exactly what he wanted in his church, the Living Savior Ministries. He wanted no other preachers. He only wanted us to show one of his 1,300 plus videos each week. He already has 1.2 million video viewers on YouTube, not including the millions of CDs and DVDs that we've mailed worldwide free and postage paid. We've mailed out over 10 million CDs and DVDs. That's what the Lord told him to do, to give everything away. Praise God for his legacy and the massive library he left us. And I'm going to be 21 and 3/4 years showing all these things, or until I get raptured out of here. But I want to thank, of course, Pastor Teddy and Pastor Marcia for having me. They're such good friends. But I also want to say thank you to Pastor Paul Santos. And y'all don't know this, most of you probably, but 4 years ago, my daughter had a brain bleed in the back of her head, and then it went up and caused a stroke in the top of her head. And once I got to Florida, they told me that I was going to have to decide when to unplug her. And I said, no, I don't have to decide that, because Psalm 118:17, because I'm not unplugging her. Psalm 118:17 says, she shall live and not die, and testify of the glory of God. And so I stood on that. Well, I texted all my friends, family, and my pastor friends, and I reached out to Pastor Santos. Well, I didn't know this until later. For the next 3 days, Pastor Santos had the Lord wake him up at 4 a.m. every single morning and tell him to intercede and get down on his knees for Christy, which of course he did. The third morning, he not only had him doing it at 4 a.m. and at 8 a.m., he did that. The fourth day, we had our turnaround, and that's when Christy, the PA, at 6 in the morning, the PA came in there with the brain surgeon, and she got her to squeeze her hand with her left hand, because the right side was paralyzed, and also to barely lift her thumb, and she did all of that. And then she said, well, we're making progress here. And so she had this brain wire monitor out of her head, and she numbed it and took it out, which I didn't realize at the time. It was screwed down with a nut in the top of her skull, so pain left when all that happened. That was good. It made her blood pressure and everything go down. But, you know, I'm so, the people that love me, love my children, you know, you just love people that are willing to hit the floor and intercede for them. So I am forever thankful to Pastor Paul Santos for all the intercession he did to save my daughter, as well as I thank God that he raised her up. And she's walks with a cane. She does have a hand. They say the last thing that will come will be her right hand, the side that was paralyzed. And so, and she can walk sometimes without the cane, like at home where she knows where she is and stable and everything. And she wears a hand brace occasionally, but she can squeeze her hand, but she can't, she can like grab something, put it at her elbow, but she can't really take a cloth and squeeze it, you know, like to put, she does do the washing. She does, she puts up the, you know, the dishes and stuff like that in the dishwasher. But anyway, she's getting better. She's doing hyperbaric chamber treatments with a Florida neurologist, and she's more fluid in her talking. And then she comes every Sunday when they're in town, she comes and sings with me at church because it happened to the left side of her brain. Yeah, so the right side's paralyzed. Again, it's the opposite. And she did have some unforgiveness. There were three things there. She had some unforgiveness against a female business partner. Her husband, Eric, wasn't putting God first in his life. And there was one more thing. Oh, yeah. The Lord showed me that the devil had shot a fiery dart into the back of her head, which was to destroy her, would destroy me, which would destroy Thurman, which would destroy the ministry. It was also, that was part of it, too. It was just a destruction plan. So anyway, and Pastor Paul confirmed that with me too. But anyway, great man of God. We love Pastor Paul. And I know Thurman, he's been gone now. Yesterday was a year. So now he's living in heaven with Pastor Paul Santos, with Pastor John McCall, with Eldon Niddle, and Dr. Gary Young. And they're just having a great time up there preaching and teaching. And they're good buddies. And we miss them. Lily, my puppy, and I, we really miss and love Thurman, of course. And I know Marcia's had a tough go too. But God's in control. And so he's got me. He's got me. He told me that he's got big plans for me. So, okay. I said, okay, God, send me. I'll go wherever you tell me. But I want to thank Baltimore Christian Faith Center for having me, and especially for y'all that love me so much. And Pastor Teddy and Pastor Marcia, y'all have just been wonderful to me and taking care of me. And I love y'all. And so I want to bless all of y'all mightily. And if you want prayer after Pastor Teddy's dismissed at us, I'll be happy to pray for you. But I want you to be sure and get all the teachings back up there that we mailed here, and we have some new books back there, Spiritual Warfare, that's got a great prayer in the middle. My son's not saved, and I pray that prayer every night religiously. And then there's, of course, all the CDs, DVDs, and I taught in July. I taught at Des Moines. So there's two back there. One is called My Extraordinary Life with Pastor Thurman, which talks about my spiritual walk and then meeting Thurman and how we came together. And then the other one is called Incredible Testimonies with Pastor Thurman, and it's got the story about the 2,823 demons that I got to go through with him. If you've ever been around a demon, they're nasty little things. And this demon would talk out of this woman's mouth, and her sin was she had joined the Rainbow Girls when she was 11, and now she's 38, and this demon is now going to kill her. There were 2,823 demons in her from joining the Rainbow Girls, which is a Masonic organization, and because the Masons are an occult organization. But anyway, you learn a lot listening to some of those, and so thank you for having me. Bless all of y'all.